From South Dakota Public Broadcasting, this is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Josh Chilson in Sioux Falls. Some in the Republican Party are feeling positive about returns from the June 2nd primary when it comes to legislative races. Results could indicate a shift in policy and legislative leadership. Jackson Dirks reports.
South Dakota's pro-economic development legislature may be back in business.
From a business community perspective, we've got to be pretty excited about what we saw.
That's Ryan Budmeyer. He's the president and CEO of the South Dakota Chamber of Commerce and Industry. He says more often than not, pro-business, pro-economic growth candidates won. While South Dakota voters typically favored pro-growth policymaking at the state level, some have called that into question the past 2 years. That's because in 2024, an anti-pipeline movement spread across the state's Republican Party. It was a result of a contentious carbon pipeline project that many landowners objected. Voters then ousted some lawmakers in the 2024 primary who voted for a bill they say favored the pipeline. Candidates who defeated those incumbents were typically more hesitant on taxpayer-backed economic development policy. However, Bud Myers says the issue appeared to be in the rearview mirror this primary.
And so that was a little less at the forefront this year. And so I think you saw that the pendulum swing a little bit.
A lifelong South Dakotan from Belle Fourche, Bud Myers says he hopes this legislature can help move the state toward pro-growth for all South Dakotans.
We're going to have to figure out how do we tell the story of what growing our economy means to small town South Dakota. What does it mean to some of our rural communities? What does it mean for the quality of life, the education?
While the general election is still months away, the state's guaranteed to have a Republican majority legislature. Democrats didn't field enough candidates. Republicans have a supermajority in the state. Others in the business community are feeling happy about the returns this primary election as well. Nathan Sanderson is executive director of the South Dakota Retailers Association. He says he's not necessarily expecting sweeping policy changes just because the makeup of the legislature has changed.
I don't know that we have a whole lot that we need to do in order to ensure that South Dakota is a good place to do business. I think what we need to see is not doing things that are bad for business.
Sanderson says that hasn't been the case recently.
And so I think the broader perspective is a return to normal order and ensuring that we have stability in our business climate. And over the last number of years, we haven't had stability, and that's what we're looking forward to.
Though, some policy changes could come both at the legislative and executive levels. South Dakota's governor's seat is up for grabs in November, which could impact policy. Incentivizing data centers was a conversation that dominated last session. Greg Jameson is a Republican majority whip who opted not to run again for the legislature, instead campaigning for Sioux Falls mayor. He says when the legislature changes to being maybe a little more agreeable to economic development,
you should expect some momentum and some time to run with it, if you will, because it doesn't take long to look back in the mirror and go, hey, we really didn't move the needle there on that piece. So now that maybe they're in that mode of more economic development incentives and just efforts, you should see that be pushed pretty hard.
Another aspect of policy preferences shifting means legislative leadership could change. Sanderson with the Retailers Association calls it a near certainty there'll be new leadership.
And I think that a number of us, including member businesses of the Retailers Association, would say that those changes would be an improvement.
Sanderson says leadership this past cycle was not pro-business. Some leadership positions are guaranteed to see new people as not all made another run. However, others have returned who could still vie for their leadership positions, like Sioux Falls Senator Chris Carr. He's Senate pro tem, the highest legislative seat in the Senate. Carr told SDPB he's willing to serve in the position again. But whether it's him or someone else,
I want professional, mature, respectful people that put the integrity of the building and the process and the institution first.
Carr believes he accomplished that.
If it's not me, then my message to fellow legislators, House and Senate, is put the institution first, put the integrity of the process first. If you do that, then no matter what camp they say you're in, I think you win. Because you're letting it work. You're letting the process work. Don't put your thumb on it.
The general election is on November 3rd. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks.
The South Dakota Supreme Court reverses a lower court's decision over a traffic stop that led to a DUI conviction. In January of 2024, an Aberdeen police officer pulled the driver over after he turned at a stop sign. The officer said the driver didn't start his turn signal 100 feet before turning, violating state law. That stop led to the driver getting a DUI. The driver fought back against that charge and filed a motion to suppress. He said the officer did not have reason to stop him. He argued that another state traffic law applied, negating the 100 feet requirement for the turn signal. A magistrate and circuit court judge both rejected the driver's argument. But the state Supreme Court ruled in the driver's favor. In their opinion, justices said since the officer was unaware of the other law on turn signals, he did not have a reasonable suspicion to stop the driver. A bison that fatally struck a woman in the Black Hills will not be euthanized. Instead, it is being turned over to a tribal government entity. Jackson Dirks reports.
In May, a 70-year-old Canadian woman was hiking in Custer State Park on the Grace Coolidge Trail with her husband. She was struck by a bull bison from behind and later died from her injuries. Afterward, the State Game Fish and Parks said it had moved the bison from the area and were monitoring its behavior. In the ensuing weeks, the ultimate fate of the bison was unclear, but many expressed concern on social media the animal might be euthanized. On Wednesday, the Rosebud Sioux Tribe Game Fish and Parks announced it was officially assuming custody of the bison involved. The announcement came on social media. The post said that the tribe was stepping forward to ensure that the animal will not be euthanized. Instead, he will be safely relocated where he will be able to live out the remainder of his natural life in a secure environment away from the public. The tribe extended its condolences to the family of the deceased woman. The tribe continued, saying, quote, "We also recognize that these are wild animals and that the bison was acting in accordance with its wild nature. We will honor both our cultural obligation to protect our relative and the need of keeping the public safe." SDPB reached out to the state GFP communications manager, Nick Harrington. He sent SDPB a statement. It said that, quote, "Human life is sacred. While we have tremendous respect for the wildlife that makes South Dakota special, including our buffalo, our number one responsibility is to protect our people. When public safety is at risk, we have a duty to act. Herd management decisions are made with public safety at the forefront, and we will continue to take necessary action to protect human life. The best management decision was to remove it from the park to ensure public safety. We are grateful for Rosebud Sioux Tribe's willingness to work with us to relocate the buffalo to a location that's suitable for the animal and away from interaction with the general public." I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks.
Governor Larry Roden announces the state's participation in a national program created to help foster children build financial security. First Lady Melania Trump runs the program, which is called Trump Accounts, for foster youth. Trump accounts are proposed long-term savings and investment accounts designed to set youth up for the future with these financial foundations. Any foster youth receiving Social Security survivor benefits would have the money deposited in their Trump account. Governor Roden says he is proud of those working to ensure more South Dakota children receive the opportunities they deserve. State officials say they're planning several temporary road closures around Mount Rushmore during the upcoming Independence Day fireworks show. The Freedom 250 event takes place at Mount Rushmore on July 3rd. The Department of Transportation says sections of Highway 16A and Highway 244 will be closed that day for security needs. The 16A closure is just south of Keystone. 244 is closed from the 16A junction to about a mile west of Mount Rushmore. The roads reopen around 11 p.m. that night, and Mount Rushmore is back open to the public the following morning. Deep in the Black Hills, students are learning at a leadership camp sponsored by the State Farmers Union. Importantly, they say it's going beyond just seeds in the ground. CJ Keene has more.
At a campsite near Rockerville, students have assembled from all over the state to explore careers in farming, gain ag skills, and meet new people. That's not all, though, says Colton Raymond. He's a senior from Ethan.
They don't really realize how many cooperatives there are around us, like especially in South Dakota. You know, we get electricity from a rural cooperative. For a week, they get to run their own cooperative. So I lead the credit union cooperative. And so we give out loans to the other cooperatives. We decide an interest rate.
It's also an opportunity to give back to the program after graduation. While Cadence Konichny is preparing to study at Notre Dame, she came back to serve as a counselor for the next group of students. She says the value of the community helped put her on a path towards college and improved self-worth.
Along, obviously, with the ag advocacy and teaching these kids about rural communities, how they can be a part of it and how they can help from every angle, is also they come here to become confident in themselves. I don't think I'd be near as far as I am in my life without the skills and the people I've met here at these camps.
Overall, the effort seems to be working, according to Lorelei Runke. She's a junior from Pierre with farming in the family. She says the group helped her come out of her shell.
So when I got here, I was really quiet. And I really just kind of like sat off by myself. And I didn't really want to like get involved in any of the activities. But I feel like everyone here is just so inclusive. And everybody's energy level is so high and so happy that like no matter how hard you try to not get involved, you're gonna get pulled into it anyways.
The group finishes this year's Farmers Union Camp today. I'm SDPB's CJ Keen in Rockerville.
That's your daily news update. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at SDPB News. And stay up to date on the latest headlines at sdpb.org/news. Thank you for following listener-supported SDPB.